Good morning, everyone. Declare the meeting open at 9:31. I'd like to start by acknowledging the Quandamooka people who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet. I'd also like to pay respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who are present. Public conduct at our meetings is outlined in section 32 of our standing orders, but just a reminder for those in our public gallery who may not have been here before, all members of the public present at a meeting must, not without the prior approval of the chairperson, make an audio or video recording or take any photographs, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present, be suitably dressed, turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements that I may, with or without such notice, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for a period as a chairperson decides, and that period may include future meetings. We will make an exemption for photos at the time when we acknowledge our recipients of the Order of Australia medals. There are no leaves of absence that I'm aware of, so we'll go straight to our devotional segment and ask member of the Redlands Ministers Fellowship, Pastor Etienne de Wildsem, Redlands Reformed Church, Christian Reformed Church, to provide us with a brief devotional segment. Thanks, Etienne.
Thank you, Mayor Karen Williams, and good morning, everyone, members of the gallery and councillors. Permit me, if you will, this morning to share a little bit of a personal story and a testimony. This morning will be probably the last time that I'll lead a devotion here. After pastoring our church in Redlands for about 7 years, my wife and I have taken a call to pastor a church in Tasmania coming up. So we're off to the cold, maybe something to look forward to given the weather the last few weeks, but that's okay. We'll no doubt be regretting it in winter. And I want to basically, on that note, say this is more than just a period of about 7 years serving our current church that's coming to an end. I'm a migrant. I moved to Australia from Africa in 2004. And I landed in the Redlands and have lived here ever since. And my 14 years here have been immensely blessed years. And I want to acknowledge today that much of that is due to the work, the diligent and faithful work, that you do as a council. We have enjoyed safety, we've enjoyed the order, the parks, the peace. I've enjoyed treating my kids on a Saturday afternoon occasionally for a tip run for free. It's been wonderful. And I want to acknowledge that and say thank you very much. Our 14 years here have been incredible. And with that, I also want to just then leave you with some words of scripture from the Bible that I want to encourage you with. I know that governing is not easy. I know that if you're in the gallery, following governments aren't easy, necessarily always, and it can be very difficult. Nevertheless, at least from a Christian perspective, I want us to hear these words and just consider them today. Reading from Romans chapter 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but bad. Would you have fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. This assumes that authority and government is good, and I think implicit has a call for government and for those in governance to be good and upright and just. And if that is aspired to, for those of us who need to follow your leadership, we have the assurance that it is in our interest to respect you and to work with you. And I'd like to see the Redlands being a place where these two things are upheld in the future. I think what we see on our streets and in our community so far looks relatively good in terms of respectable government and citizens who want to follow you and honour you. May that be kept up and upheld for a long, long time to come in the Redlands. Let me just pray for us briefly. Father, thank you for instituting governance. And some of us here today may believe in that, that it is you who did it, some of us not. Nevertheless, we know one way or another that societies can only function when they are governed lovingly, fairly and justly. And I pray for this council. I pray that it will continue in many years and decades, maybe centuries to come, that it would be a governing body that seeks justice and fairness, love, grace and compassion for those whom it needs to lead and govern. And then I pray for our community. Father, whatever our motives may be, may we respect and honour those who are in authority over us, those who seek to shape and create an environment for us to live in that will let us flourish together in love and harmony. Grant us the ability to respect, honour and obey where it's right for us to do so. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Etienne. Before you leave, a bit of a surprise to know that you're moving to Tasmania. So if we could wish you warm memories, not just those in temperature, but of the wonderful time you've had when you were in Tasmania, of Redlands, and all of our blessings go with you. And hope when you return, you come and visit. Thank you.
Thank you very much. No doubt we'll be here 2-3 times a year. Escaping the cold and, visiting family. So
we'll see you in the winter then.
No doubt. Thanks.
Our next item on the agenda, councillors, is our recognition of achievement. And I'm going to take this opportunity to acknowledge our Australia Day Honours Awards. And obviously we've had a small informal gathering with some of our recipients of the Order of Australia Medal. So if I could just start by saying that one of the fantastic, strong characteristics of Redland City is the quality of its residents and their commitment to their community. I would challenge any of our neighbours to have such a depth of commitment and volunteerism that Redlands has. And we are very fortunate indeed that we have so many people who are willing to give back to this place that we all love. People like our newest Order of Australia recipients, Elizabeth or Libby Parkinson from Birkdale, Tony Brown from Dunwich, Deirdre Hargraves from Ormiston, and Glyn Topfer from Thornlands. We have two of those people in the gallery today, both Libby and Deirdre, and unfortunately the other two couldn't be here because of their other commitments. But all of them are very inspiring and are long-time servants of the community and so really do deserve this accolade. To have four Redlanders receive the Medal of the Order of Australia is a testament to the spirit of volunteerism and community service in our city. So let me just briefly outline the achievements of our honours recipients. For those of you who've ever visited Dunwich and been part of the football club over there, Tony Brown would not be a stranger to you. Mr. Tony Brown, OAM, has been honoured for his decades of service to junior sports on North Stradbroke Island. There have been countless dawn mornings spent marking our footy fields and years quietly mentoring local talents and opening up opportunities for them to pursue their sporting passions. It's incredibly important in an isolated community on an island like Stradbroke. We can only imagine how many sausage sizzles he has attended in his tireless effort to fundraise for the construction of that all-sports club. He never seeks recognition for his actions, but I know that they are done with great love and have had a great impact on his local community. To Miss Libby Parkinson, OAM, Libby's OAM honours not only herself, but the servicemen and women whose stories that she has sought to preserve. Libby, you have continued the work of those who have gone before you in ensuring that the stories of Australian prisoners of war will never be forgotten. Your work as president of the 2nd 10th Field Regiment Association is something your community veterans and families are very proud of. To Mrs. Deirdre Hargraves, OAM. Deirdre, Your OIM acknowledges your long history of helping, whether through environmental projects, Meals on Wheels, or more than 40 years involvement in the Friends of St Andrew's Church at Ormiston. A founding member of one of our first bush care groups, you are known for your love of the local environment, and you're also known for your deep empathy for others. What remains constant is your obvious desire to make the community you live in a better place. To Mr. Glyn Topfer, OIM, Glyn was honoured with an OIM for his service to Surf Life Saving. His involvement in this quintessential Aussie volunteer organisation stretches back decades at local, state, and national levels. None of our local OIM recipients seek credit for what they do, which makes it all the more rewarding for us to acknowledge them here today and recognise their efforts. To Libby and Deidre, who are here, and to Tony and Glyn in their absence, we thank you for your wonderful community service. You are, as I said earlier, by anyone's definition, great Australians, and we can be thankful and very proud that you have chosen to call the Redlands home. I just wanted to add to this list of some other amazing Redlanders. It gave me great pleasure recently to officiate at the annual Redland City Citizen of the Year Awards, held for the first time at the impressive new Australian Alexandra Hills Convention Centre. My announcement of Dennis Ryan as Citizen of the Year was roundly applauded and is a fitting reward for Dennis's many years of hard work within our local community. We also have a young Citizen of the Year, teenage soprano on the rise, Leah Lever. Senior Citizen is Cole Cunningham. Ian and Judy Wintle took the Local Hero Award. The Community Organisation Award was shared by Redland Centre for Women and the Bayside Vehicle Restorers Club. The Environment and Sustainability Award went to Michael Wilson, and the Sports Award to Paralympian Daniel Fox, who is no stranger to this chamber. A special cheer was reserved for our very own town crier, Max Bissett, who won the Cultural Award and displayed the great talent that he has held him as one of the town crying greats. Redland City also punches well above its weight in the sporting arena with a multitude of representative achievements in a range of sports, and might just take this opportunity to acknowledge, although they have been acknowledged, I think one of them has at least in this chamber recently, a surfer of the future, Ethan Ewing of North Stradbroke Island. And he is certainly living up to his next big thing tag with a popular victory in the World Junior Surfing Championships. Ethan is the youngest rookie on the world professional circuit and is tipped to make big waves this year and into the future. On the cricket field, young Redlander Sam Haslett continued his meteoric rise by being selected in the Australian one-day squad, who recently completed a short tour of New Zealand. He made his international debut in the first one-dayer at Eden Park, Auckland. Sam was earmarked for bigger things with a sensational start to his first-class career with a century and 8 half-centuries from his first 13 games. He has also made a name for himself in the shorter version, Big Bash, where he has been batting at number 3 for semi-finalists in the Brisbane Heat. So on behalf of all of you here and Redland City, I'd like to congratulate all of these people, our Australia Day Honours Awards, our award winners and our sporting stars for their achievements, and wish them all the very best for the future. You certainly make Redlands one of the best places in the world to live. Thank you. Now I might just ask Deidre and Libby, if they'd like to come forward, our OIM recipients. And I know our dedicated journalist and cameraman is in the back there, his photographer. He may want to grab a photo of these two outstanding Redlanders. Now, Council, I haven't been advised of any further recognitions today, so we'll move straight on to the receipt and confirmation of minutes. Can we please have a mover and seconder that the general meeting minutes, general meeting held on the 8th of February 2017 be confirmed, their minutes? Thank you, ladies. Moved, Councillor Gleeson, seconded, Councillor Bishop. Any items of correctness, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. There are no matters outstanding from minutes of previous general meetings, so we'll move straight on to the public participation section. I have been advised that there are a couple of people that would like to address council this morning. So if I could, councillors, could we have a mover and seconder that the meeting adjourn for a 15-minute public participation segment to allow members of the public to address council on matters of interest related to local government? Moved, Councillor Boglari, seconded, Councillor Golay. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Just before I call up our first speaker, just for those in the gallery who wish to address council, you may have noticed there is some signage around chambers regarding public participation at meetings. It is council's usual practice to require any person wishing to address the meeting to state their name and suburb or organisation that they represent and the subject that they wish to speak about. This information is recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document available for inspection at Council's Administration Building and published on Council's website. I would also like to advise the meeting that this meeting is being recorded in audio video and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that recording video may be placed in the public domain. Any person addressing a meeting will state their name and suburb or organisation they represent, the subject they wish to speak about. Stand unless you're unable to do so. Please act and speak with decorum. Be respectful and courteous. Make no comments directed at any individual councillor, council employee or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. And as chairperson, it is my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address the local government. It's also my responsibility to give priority to members of the public who have made written applications to the CEO to address the meeting, and to determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of persons wanting to speak and the time available. Each speaker has a maximum of 5 minutes, dependent on those number of speakers. I also have the responsibility to withdraw the approval to address council before that period of time has elapsed. Just a reminder also, the debate and discussion cannot be entered into at this time. If there are any speakers who are hearing impaired, please wait in your seat and we will bring the microphone to you and just get you to stand while you're speaking. So we have two people that have written and applied to address council this morning. Our first is Mr. Alan Murray from Alexandra Hills. Is Alan here?
I'm here.
Would you like to make your way, Alan, to the microphone, Mr. Murray? And there you go. So, Mr. Murray, just a reminder to please state your name and your suburb or the organisation you represent.
Mr. Murray, Alexandra
Hills. You can start when you're ready.
I'd like to have a conversation with regards to animal control, or lack of. I live in Alexandra Hills. I've made a number of complaints about barking dogs. They mucked around like nobody else's business. Made complaints of that damn cat coming in and using my place in the toilet. Was given a cat trap, broken one to begin with. Don't know the reason behind that, but there you have it. Got another cat trap. And was told after 4 weeks to have a nose success for catching a cat. But hey, cat's been caught in a cat trap. He won't go there twice. End of story. Nothing done about the cat. Drop the issue. I'm just aware of that. Barking dog, every corner. My dog, and I have a dog, is controlled, well looked after, and well cared for. I don't put my neighbours out by having my dog bark at all hours of the night. Then why couldn't I be afforded the same luxury? And how is it that council, animal control, can turn around and say that they perform a function when the last function they performed was to get my dog when it strayed and then give it to a complete stranger and make me wait 3 days for the return of my dog? This is animal control. Some of the girls down there are quite nice. But the system that's in place is flawed in so many parts, you might as well call it a fly screen door. And the idea of having somebody come out and listen to the noise.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. Our next speaker is Mr. Darrell Scott. If you'd like to approach the microphone. Mr. Scott, if you could just state your name and the organisation you represent, and you can start when you're ready. Thanks very much, Mr. Scott. Don't believe there are any other speakers in the gallery. So with that, councillors, ask for a mover and seconder that the meeting proceedings be resumed. Move councillor Bishop, seconded councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, I haven't been advised of any petitions, councillors, so we will move on to the order of business or presentations. There are no petitions, are there? Or presentations? Just double checking. Saw some faces being pulled, made sure I was correct. Order of business. Is there any motion to alter the order of business, councillors? There being none, just moving on to item 10, which is just a reminder of your material, personal interest and conflict of interest. Your responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009 in relation to a material personal interest or conflict of interest about a matter to be discussed at a meeting. A list of those responsibilities are in your agenda, councillors. Moving on to item 11.1.1, which is our January 2017 monthly financial report. Do I have a mover for the officer's recommendation? Move Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Hughes. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Mitchell?
Yes, thank you, Mayor, just briefly. Yes, it's our monthly financial report, and really just want to assure the public that there's great and appropriate scrutiny of our finance at Redland City Council. These are, from a legislative point of view, accounting standards, the ELT, and indeed the councillors and the public. And it's a real credit to our finance team and the whole organisation. They get a lot of cooperation in preparing these reports. They've got a huge amount of skill and time goes into it to give us quality and timely information to the organisation, the councillors and the public. So, thank you.
Any speakers against? Any further comments? Councillor Edwards, sorry.
Thank you. I just want to make a comment in regards to Council's capital works. The report says we're $1 million behind, but I actually think it's a really good result that we've done over $33 million of capital works in 6 months, and I don't think this council will achieve so much work in 6 months beforehand. Of course, the real task is before us because, as you can see, it really ramps up the next half year, but I'd just like to give kudos to those involved. It's a really good result of delivery of infrastructure in the city today.
Thank you. I note, Councillor Hughes, you want to ask a question about the on page 414, I think it was clarified yesterday. Is that the question you want to ask? So go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. Through yourself to our CFO. Deb, on page 4 of 14, the key performance indicators, just noticed that two of those that are normally with a green tick in our status have got the red crosses on them, understanding that that could be cyclic. And so I just seek your clarification on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you to the Councillor, thanks for the question. You're 100% correct. So January, this is for the month of January, and January we run the third quarter rates. So we levy the rates on a quarterly basis at Redland City Council. And when we levy the rates, rates revenue is not reciprocal, so we can actually book that to revenue in the month of January. Some of the cash starts coming in. Some people pay their rates on receipt, even though we give up to a month for that payment. So we get quite a bit of cash through the door, which means that the operating performance ratio can sometimes miss, and our level of general level of dependence on general rate revenue, because we've levied those rates, sometimes can breach that 37.5% target. So very much cyclical, so that's exactly the right term to use, in line with how we levy the rates. And we know that we've always got the asset sustainability ratio as a stretch target, and it's not unexpected from the finance team or ELT in general that those other two ratios breach their stretch targets every quarter when we levy the rates.
Any further comments, councillors? I mean, just basically reiterating once again, we're in a fine financial position. Backing up what Councillor Edwards said, great work in the capital works, but yes, there will be challenges ahead, and we'll have further discussions about that, no doubt. Would you like to sum up, Councillor Mitchell?
No, I think it's all been said quite nicely. Thank
you. Right. With that, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. The next item is our updated asset guidelines and procedures. Do I have a mover for that? Officer, move Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Hughes. Councillor Mitchell, would you like to speak to it?
Yeah, just another brief comment. This just hand in glove with the financial hygiene of this council. It's just another part of the great work in clearly understanding our city's assets and their appropriate maintenance and replacement. There's great work being done in this space, and lots more to come. It's getting better and better, so look forward to it. Thank you.
And a question, Councillor Elliott?
Financial hygiene, is that a new term? Or
technical term? I don't know, but you're welcome to use it, Councillor. Are there any speakers against, councillors? Any comments? Councillor Edwards?
I'd just like to thank the officers preparing this report and these guidelines. What's particularly I find handy is the flow charts they've done. And it helps novices like me in a lot of these areas to follow through and get a better understanding of it. So I'd just like to thank the officers for the work. Well done.
Any other questions, councillors, or comments? Would you like to sum up, Councillor Mitchell?
Oh, very briefly. I think we're all just very happy and proud of the work that's been done in this space, and encourage it to continue.
Well done, CFO and team. Okay, with that, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item number 11.2.1 is our operational plan quarterly performance report. Can I please have a mover and seconder for that item? Moved to Councillor Boglari, seconded Councillor Hughes. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
Certainly. The operational plan is actually a very interesting one, not only for councillors, but I think for the public, because it does set out a lot of the projects that are underway, and it also does a tracking of them. A couple that I think would be of interest to the public is page 4 of 19 has the Koala Network and Corridor Planning Progress. I know this was mentioned to me at a function on Sunday night. We've got a very passionate community when it comes to our environment and koalas, so I know that one's being followed. And another one is the kayak entry points. So we're having kayak trails around the city, which is great for access to the bay, which a lot of our residents, of course, also like. And then there is, of course, your infrastructure and not-so-sexy projects in there. But it does make a good read. And, again, I thank the officers for these updates, and it keeps us all on track as well as the projects.
Any speakers against? Comment, Councillor Bishop?
Yes, thank you very much, and absolutely endorse the fantastic work that our officers do in lining up with our various corporate and community plans with this operational plan and the update that we get. It's great to see so many things on track. I've just asked a couple of questions from officers in relation to a couple of the items that are of concern, and I just think it's important for us to make sure that we are on track with those. And I've asked some questions of officers behind the scenes, and I know that work is ongoing in that space, which is good to know. I won't go into the details, but just note those things, and that conversations are ongoing, and I think it's very important. And as we'll see later on, in relation to people wanting to come into this city and have guidance, that I think it is important where we have responsibility. Speaking particularly in relation to a cultural heritage policy, where residents and developers or anyone associated with cultural heritage issues look for guidance, I think it's important that we follow through with our stated commitment to that, and nice to know that officers are progressing that, and I appreciate there's some hold-ups in that space, but look forward to that being there as guidance, so that we can avoid any uncertainties or challenges that people might find or find themselves caught out for not having done things that we might have been able to alert them to when they come to Redland City and look for some guidance. Thank you.
Any other comments, councillors? Councillor Hughes?
My apologies. This one I was going to ask yesterday and I actually lost the spot. In Chapter 7, Strong and Connected Communities, so it's just a clarification. The third dot point, conduct planning for the Surf Life Saving Queensland Operations Hub and join SES Emergency Response Centre. Is that joint? It should be joint, isn't it, because they're working together? I just wanted to clarify that. I thought it was a typo, but needed to check that.
My understanding is a typo. If I may just also, for our consideration in future operational plans, to make sure that we have items that we are responsible for the measure, because what we find is sometimes our measures are, we will end up with an item like this where some of the controls are not in our domain. So I think it's very important that if that message gets through when we adopt our next operational plan, that we make sure those measures are actually something that we have control of, because otherwise we could end up with a list of concerns. So I think that's on that yes. point, as well yes. as the fact that, yes, there's a spelling error.
Yeah, it was a typo. Thank you yep. very much. Just that helps clarify out.
Thank you. Are there any other comments or questions, councillors? Councillor Boglari, would you like... Okay. No further comments. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item... 11.2.2, do we have a mover for that officer's recommendation, councillors? Councillor Hughes? Seconded Councillor Boglari.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to move 11.2.2, discounts and waivers of fees, charges and infringements with these amendments. Thank you.
So move, Councillor Hughes, and it's been seconded already by Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Are there any comments or questions, councillors? If there are none, I'll just put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 11.3.1 is an item for noting. Councillor Gleeson, would you like to move that motion?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move item 11.3.1, which is decision-making under delegated authority for categories 1, 2 and 3 developments.
Seconded for that? Councillor Boglari, would you like to speak to Councillor Tolte?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to note that I may have a perceived conflict of interest in regard to this matter. There's an approval that's gone through officers that is in this delegated authority report that relates to a close family member, but I'll stay in the room and vote, as I have no influence over this decision, and it's I'll do so in the best interest of the city. Thank you.
It is just an item for noting, so it doesn't really require you to declare that, but we'll have that noted for the record. I did get a second to that, didn't I? Yes. So would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Mayor. No, as you said, it is an item just for noting, and the decisions are of operational matter.
Any questions or comments, or a speaker against? Comment, Councillor Elliott?
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Just bring to the community's attention on in Category 2 there that Council... the old Oakland Street Childcare Centre. There's an approval there for 13 quality units. Council intends to build on that site in four stages. We'll look for the existing tenant. I understand at this time is leaving at the end of March, and the building will be demolished, and we hope in April we'll be commenced building. So I look forward to that happening as a bit of renewal in the city. Thank you.
Thank you. And obviously in discussions it's setting a higher standard of building quality that we hope others in city who invest here aspire to. That's the plan. Any other questions or comments, councillors? There being none, I'll go back to Councillor Gleeson. Do you need anything further? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.3.2. Councillor Gleeson, would you like to move the officer's recommendation?
Thanks, Mayor. Okay, I'd like to move item 11.3.2, Planning and Environment Court Matters. List current as at the 27th of January.
Seconded for that, councillors. Seconded, Councillor Tolte. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
No, thanks, Mayor. It's on the report.
Any questions or comments, councillors? Question, councillor?
Do we have any further update on determinations on items 2 and 3 at all?
The answer is
We're still waiting.
We're still waiting.
Thank you.
No other questions? I'll put the motion in. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Councillors, item 11.3.3. Councillor Hewlett, would you like to move the officer's recommendation with the amendment that was sent through?
I didn't see an amendment.
Oh, the one that was sent through. Remember we talked about it yesterday?
Oh, that was only a minor amendment, yeah. It gives me great pleasure to move 11.3.3 Outdoor Recreation Facility at 424 Redland Bay Road, Victoria Point, Treetops.
Move Councillor Hewlett, seconded Councillor Tolte. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hewlett? No, just noting that change. Everyone's aware of that, and we have an officer here who will go through this report with us. So.
Do you want the officer to go through first, Madam Mayor?
Well, I might do that. That might help with some questions. There were some questions raised by a number of councillors. We all received a letter, and I just wanted to get some clarity around this amendment, which I think has been explained to us. But there's also another item that was raised with us late last night. And just to give councillors the understanding of the process and acknowledgement of that letter. Sorry, Andrew, to put you on the spot. Sorry, Councillor Hewlett, I'll come back to you as Speaker. Andrew, if we could just deal with the issue of the amendment that we have behind us and just giving some comfort to those in the public gallery who may not be aware of why that amendment exists.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. With regards to the amendment, the whole traffic impact assessment report is still being approved. It's just that this particular sentence, it's already in the traffic impact assessment report. There was no need to repeat it in condition 15, so therefore it struck through. In addition to that, it's a 10-year forecast. We are still approving 57 car parks as per the traffic impact assessment and as per our assessment. Thank you.
So it's just duplication. There was another item of cultural heritage raised. If you could just explain council's role in that. We do have a note, which we do on every single development approval in regards to items of cultural heritage. But because it has been raised with us, it might be just a good idea for us to explain the process of dealing with cultural heritage through these sorts of applications.
There is advice on every application with regards to Aboriginal and cultural heritage under the Aboriginal and Cultural Heritage Act. With regards to this particular application, there are scar trees on the site. However, they are not affected by the exact location of this proposal. In addition to the advice that goes on every application, we have added a clause on this approval that it is recommended that the applicants undertake a complete Aboriginal and cultural heritage survey over the site. Thank you.
Question, Councillor? I'll go through to the speakers first, if I could, because we are informal, and then we'll come to those questions. So that was just to give some clarity. In regards to that cultural heritage, we are not the assessing agency. It's the state government law, so we can only advise, which we have done, and in fact we've probably strengthened it in this instance. So if I can get Councillor Hewlett now, if you'd like to speak for the motion, Councillor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would like to speak for the motion. This application, I think, was lodged with Council back in September 2015, so it's been a long and arduous road down to this path. I think Department of Main Roads were largely responsible for that. When that first came up as impact assessable and the sign went up there on Colburn Avenue, I posted information about it on my Facebook page, and the response from the community was nothing but absolutely supportive. They're very happy that this is coming to Victoria Point. I drive down Colburn Avenue every day on the way home, and I love seeing that Epiphar Forest there. And I've often wondered that it's privately owned, what's going to happen to it, because council doesn't have an enormous amount of control on privately owned land. So to hear that this treetops challenge is coming to my area is a real bonus for me. I think it's going to be a fantastic community facility. I'd like to thank Councillor Wendy McGlary, Paul Guller, and I think Councillor Talty came out as well to on site with the Taylor family and their representatives, and very obliging. This is going to help sustain the scouts in the area. And it's not. There's environmental issues there already, like weed management, which the treetops facility will be able to monitor that. It'll increase activity in the area. The scouts already do a lot of activity in the area, and I've been to the scout sites many times. I've been to many of their meetings. It's a beautiful site, and this, as the gentleman mentioned before, this is a great synergy. It brings recreation, ecotourism, fitness and health, and talking about everyone being sedentary in this time of our life, it's a wonderful thing. I think the community will embrace it. I think it's a wonderful thing for Victoria Point, and I wholeheartedly support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hewlett. Do we have a speaker against? Oh, I know there's some hands gone up for questions and comments. Councillor Boglari?
I also support this development because it is exactly what the city needs. It's ecotourism. It's something that we're always crying out, there's nothing for our youth, to do in the area. And this is actually a challenge that was said by the speaker that people of even my age could possibly do, right down to those younger ones. So I think it's going to be a great family place. And also we have to look at the expense of maintaining some of these areas on our groups like Scouts. And if this can bring some revenue in, to me, it actually gives protection to the area going forward. I think that's what we're all hoping. And I'm sure after meeting the family and that down there and hearing their values, that they are a very conscientious company to do with the environment. So we've had a request, though, just about the cultural heritage. And I do understand that we have put in, I just wanted it to be absolutely clarified, we have put in what Kayak and that need to ensure that the Indigenous value of the area and everything is researched and protected and valued along the way during this process. That was all.
That is correct. However, I have to emphasise it's only advice as it is administered by the Department of Environment and Heritage Protection. But we have strengthened that advice in this instance.
So to ensure that does happen, is it up to the actual Kayak themselves to further look into that, or how can we, what advice do we give, or we can't?
I'll get David maybe to answer that. So I think we've all received some advice.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's the responsibility of the proponent who's undertaking the action to ensure they're not affecting any cultural heritage values. They are required to comply with the Act. We don't condition that the cultural heritage survey is completed because they're obliged to under the Act. It is for the proponent to engage with Kayak and with the State Department to ensure those values are protected. And from what I understand, the group is more than happy to do that. They haven't done it to date because they wanted to ensure they had an approval in place before they took that next step. But they're certainly willing to do it from what we know.
I think my understanding is that there has been meetings with Kayak present as well. So I think that it has started that. I've got Councillor Tolte. I've got a host of you, but Councillor Tolte, these are just comments, I take it?
Yes, comment. Thanks, Madam Mayor. Oh, do you want to do questions first? Oh, thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I've seconded the motion with Councillor Hewlett, and as he said, this has been going on a long time, and I was present at one of the early meetings in 2015 when they first came and told us what they wanted to do on the site. I absolutely support it. I'm so excited for people in our area to have this opportunity to experience the park, or be it a private park, from the treetops, and to have that adventure aspect to our tourism in Redlands. As a teacher who taught just down the road at the high school, I can just see the benefit of all of our kids from all of our schools coming and spending and visiting days as outings at this adventure playground. As the mother of a 19-year-old who loves mountain climbing and abseiling, he'll be up there for sure. So I think that's very exciting too. And I wholeheartedly would support everyone supporting this going forward. I think it's a wonderful, the word Councillor Hewlett used was synergy, and that's exactly the word I would use too. We've got this great asset in our local scouts, both in Mount Cotton and Victoria Point and around the city. And in order to support them and their costs going forward in maintaining their land, we have to find ways to allow them to find revenue streams that will maintain all of those many, many acres of pristine bushland. And you couldn't have a more responsible, more honest proponent than Scouts when it comes to all of those aspects of environmental and cultural heritage. So I have absolutely no doubt that they will always be doing the right thing. So yes, I wholeheartedly support it.
Question, Councillor Hughes?
Yes, thank you, Andrew. I just seek clarification. Could you just say again how many car parks were going there? Because behind you it's got 66 car parks. I thought I heard you say 50 something. Yeah, so just seeking clarification on that, thank you.
Yep, thank you. It's 57 car parks. 66 is a projected number that may possibly be needed in 10 years' time. That's as per the traffic assessment report, which forms part of the approval. So if there is growth, if there is increase, then in 10 years' time there will be an additional 9 car parks.
Do we have space there for that? Thank you.
I'd have to go through the traffic assessment report, but at the moment there's only a handful of trees which are being removed, so I would assume that there is sufficient space for these 66 car parks without any further tree removal.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Councillor Golly.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I can probably shed a bit of light on that too for Councillor Hughes. A number of us went out and ground truthed the facilities that already exist at Mount Tambourine. What sort of jumped out at us, and I'll get to the point in a second, Councillor Hughes, was that there were families who had travelled from South Australia to seek accommodation here in the Redlands, but were going to Mount Tambourine to use the facilities. Now, that screams to me ecotourism and economic development, that if we place it here, this is going to be a number one winner for recreation and sport and adventure type jobs that we've been discussing in our forums. Secondly, the point in relation to the trees after ground truthing down at Victoria Point, we need to clarify the type of trees that are actually being removed here. I think it was 6 trees. They weren't a big gum tree as such. They were a small wattle-style tree on a fence line to actually provide the extra car parks. So there wasn't going to... I wanted on public record that we don't frighten the public by going, we're going to remove trees to create a car park. They're not big gum trees as such. They're on the fence line. There does need to be an adjustment. They're not significant trees, as in koala trees. Thank you.
Councillor Bishop.
Thank you very much. It's a very exciting project for all the reasons that have been mentioned, and it's tremendous to have the Scouts here today heralding an innovative use of land. Goodness knows that Redland City, I understand, as a major landholder, the challenges and costs associated with managing land. So this is a welcome innovation. Tremendous to have local support. The thing about the Scouts, the motto, be prepared, is it's a perfect synergy for a collaboration. I'm using that word synergy again, a collaboration. I'd just like to come back to the particular point of the cultural heritage issue, which it's fantastic to see that the willingness from the Scouts to engage with the Quandamooka people through that body that exists to navigate those sort of discussions has commenced. It's very important because there's an opportunity here for world's best practice in this space and for innovative leadership to have the world's oldest living culture so close to a major city supporting the Scouts in their custodial management of this land since 1928, when they became the stakeholders and owners of the land as custodians, to have them work with the Indigenous custodians. Can we see the opportunity there for a place that acknowledges the fact that there is a scar tree, there are artefacts, there are potential canoe tree, there are many things. I've had some discussions because I wanted to ask a couple of questions. A lot of the things that occur in the minds of decision makers is there going to be major hold-ups? Is there going to be an outrageous cost associated? It doesn't appear that that's the case. I have sent an email to all of you from the CEO of Kayak who came back with some information on that. I think that's important for us to bear in mind, but it comes just brings back to our minds the importance of where I was speaking earlier in the operational plan. When people come to the city, to be able to have the guidance in terms of a cultural heritage plan from this
point
city...
Point of order, Madam Mayor. I think we're straying from the item at hand.
Councillor Bishop, you probably need to talk to the item in front of you, if you may.
Can I have a point of clarification? Is cultural heritage a significant matter that's been raised on this?
Councillor, I think that we have addressed the cultural heritage. I think you're actually straying off into policy territory, so if you could just deal with the item in front of you, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, I was drawing a parallel to the fact that we don't have a policy from previous
that's my
to clarify this.
There is, as was mentioned, there is an act.
I wouldn't like to think that we'd be closing down the importance of
Councillor,
this
I,
and
I
the
ask,
role that...
Councillor, I refer you all to your standing orders, and standing orders are about keeping control of the meeting. Thank you. And giving equal opportunity to everybody around this chamber. So I ask you now to come back to the item in front of you, Councillor. More than happy for you to talk about cultural heritage matters through a policy discussion, which we are all going to be having, but at the moment we are dealing with the item before us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The collaboration necessary for us to all express ourselves and speak to a topic is important. So I do believe that in this particular instance, assessment of this particular matter does require us to be aware of the challenges associated with discussions going forward for the developer, for scouts and for council. And I have absolute faith that those conversations will proceed, and I do hope that they see the opportunity for the world's best practice outcome that we all see as a great opportunity. And wouldn't it be tremendous if we could have more of these things and have the clarity that makes this an easy thing rather than an unknown and an uncertainty and land people in a territory where they feel out of their depth because they don't have the information that we could make available. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a point of clarity, the information that's required under the Cultural Heritage Act is accessible through which department? State Department? DHP. Okay. All right. So that information is... Sorry, Councillor.
Sorry, just to confirm, it's actually DHP.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
That's about to DHP.
So...
That's it,
yep. Okay. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Department. Okay, thank you. So that information is a state responsibility and the state obviously needs to enforce that legislation. Thank you. Coming back to... if there's no further speakers, to Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to point out also that when I looked at Treetop's website, they've got a philosophy of tread lightly. I think, if anything, in the Quandamooka Interpretive Centre excites me, as the speaker mentioned before. I honestly believe if they discover Quandamooka relevance or cultural heritage on that site, they're the type of people I believe that would embellish it and make it somewhere for visitors to experience this kind of thing. I was extremely impressed by the professionalism. My wife has been to the Currumbin Centre a number of times with her school class. She speaks very highly of the professionalism and the way this organisation operates, and I'm extremely happy to have it. I look forward to cutting the ribbon one day in the future. So I'd like to move the officer's recommendation.
Thank you. With that, I'll put the motion, councillors. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Councillor, thank you, Andrew, and thank you, David, for your advice. There is no mayoral minute, nor have I been advised many notices of motion, or urgent business, councillors, so we're going straight to our closed session. I don't believe we are going to move into close. We just have a mover and a seconder for those items. Move, Councillor Elliott, on item 16.1.1. We'll just do it separately for clarity, just in case. So move, Councillor Elliott. Seconded, Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 16.1.2, move Councillor Elliott. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. I close the meeting at 10:31. Thank you.